Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you for the word of God, the entrance whereof brings light into our hearts and giving us understanding. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning, bringing in revelation of the knowledge of the Son of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, this will be a continuation of our lesson from yesterday. We're still in the Ignite series. Yesterday, it was being established in the present truth and a small sure word of prophecy. So today we read through, yesterday our lesson was taken from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. We read through just about the entire chapter. We talked about a number of things. And we tried to debunk some myths and mistruths as we went along. Well, I want to cover a lesson today, especially because I saw the direction that yesterday's room was going after a while. Well, today's topic is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's right. Does that sound familiar? Well, you know, they say it in court, and if you watch those court shows, you know, when they put them on the stand, so well, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? I'm not swearing anything, but we are bringing the whole truth, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. The, Jesus in his prayer, as we covered yesterday in John 17, he said, look, sanctify them through thy word, and thy word is truth. So we know the word of God is truth. Hallelujah. So, again, some of the mistruths that now MIS, so mistruth or untruth, you know, that's the, you know, we've learned over the years, and we need to unlearn this thing because now we are being established in the present truth. You know, so, and Jesus himself, he witnessed, you know, a good witness before Pilate, we are told, because, you know, he was there. He said, look, I come to bear witness to the truth. And so, you know, Pilate said, well, what in the world is the truth? Well, let me read a quick lesson to us in quick verse, John chapter 18. In verse 38, we see the conversation of Jesus with Pilate, just before Jesus was going to be crucified. And so Jesus is saying, look, I come to bear witness to the truth. Well, that's it, you know. And I say, look, what is the truth? You know, say, for this purpose, I am coming to this world, and I should bear witness unto the truth. That's John 18:37. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Well, are we of the truth? Are we able to hear his voice? Are we able to, you know, hear his word? Jesus said, well, you cannot hear my word. You can't even discern my speech because you are not of God. You know, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So Pilate finally said, look, what is truth? You know, what is all this truth stuff? So let's talk about some truths here. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, and we reviewed this a bit yesterday, but I want to go in depth and leave no questions asked after this. We want to put it out there. The full truth, the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. There's a few topics I will cover as time allows. But the first one is the oneness of the Godhead. That's right. You know, so the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, the most dangerous thing is to have half truths, a little bit mixed up, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Has God said that you shall surely die? You know, I mean, you just mix up a little thing there, you know, and all of that. That, you know, if you eat every fruit, every tree of the garden, that's not what God said. Just mix up a little bit. Change the word of God a little bit. Well, the core concept and basic fundamental doctrine of the Bible. The Bible calls it a doctrine of Christ. And the doctrine of the Bible, and it presents itself from throughout the whole theme of the Bible. And when God spoke to the children of Israel, he made it clear. And this is the thing, you know. And let's go back and review. I want to give a lot of scriptures today, you know, to settle this once and for all. The oneness of the Godhead. You know, because this is a mistruth that has been since the, you know, I mean, the second century almost, you know, since the, you know, Nicene Council way back then, 312 AD and all of that, you know, Constantine and everybody trying to make, you know, Christianity a state religion. And they were bringing in all kinds of things and the Catholicism and all those things back in there, brought in all kinds of things that was not right. Well, let's hear it from the scriptures. And the Lord loves everyone and we love everyone. We want you to be established in the present truth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Well, you know, I don't know if anybody actually posted that when I said what comes to mind. One Lord, you know, that's him. Now, not three lords. So I want to talk specifically on the oneness of the Godhead. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. That's where he started out telling them about who he is, you know. And, well, let's look. We're going to give you some scriptures, you know, just as a Bible study for you to have reference. There are, you know, literally about 118 places in the Bible where God refers to himself as, you know, all the scripture refers to him one way or another as, you know, one, the Holy One of Israel. You know, God is one, you know, so let's take it slow, but let's present the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, some people have the partial truth, but it's still not quite right, you know, but let's take a closer look at it. In many places, and I will give you many scriptures, God refers to himself as the Holy One of Israel. You will never find God talking to about himself as if he were the Holy Three of Israel. You know, always talk about himself as the Holy One of Israel. I'm going to give you multiple scriptures about that, you know, and here are a few that you can look at, and there'll be more coming in this lesson. You know, just to reintroduce this topic right away. Don't let it scare you off. You know, it's the word of God. And, you know, always remember, if anyone speaks anything that's not according to this word, then it means there's no light in them. Just throw it away. But if it is according to the scriptures, if we can bring it out from the scriptures, you know, then, you know, there you have it, you know. So, and we will bring it out from the scriptures in the book of, you know, in the book of Isaiah, you know, chapter 44, the Lord says in verse 8, he said, "Fear ye not, be not afraid. Have not I told you from that time, I've declared that ye are my witnesses? Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, and I know not any." That's God talking about, you know, no other God besides him. Praise the Lord. Well, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Verse 24 of Isaiah 44. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Well, who is our Redeemer? Well, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. I stretcheth forth the heavens alone and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Well, Isaiah 45 verses 5 and 6. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You know, these scriptures are establishing, you know, that God says, I am God. There's none else. And there is no God beside me. I girded thee, even though thou hast not known me. You know, and Jesus said the same thing to Philip. Have I been with you so long time, Philip, and yet thou hast not known me? How about Isaiah 43 verses 10 and 11? Again, these scriptures just, you know, identify the Lord as the Lord God, you know, our God and our Savior. Here's what he says. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. I'm not we are they. I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, and that's God talking, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So we call Jesus Savior. Well, in fact, that's how he was announced. You know, the angel said, look, you know, you call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. And well, the God is saying here that I am the Savior. There is no one else. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. You know, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's no Savior besides God. You know, so whoever this person is that's going to save the people from their sin, you know, according to Isaiah 7 and 14, he says, a virgin shall conceive, be with child, bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel. You see this also in Matthew 1, 22, which is being interpreted God with us. Hallelujah. That's who he is. Well, let's talk about, you know, the oneness of the Godhead. Those scriptures I just talked about right now just told us who God says he is, that he is God alone, the creator. There is no savior besides him and so forth. You know, so if anyone comes claiming that he's savior, he must be God. There is no other God besides, I mean, no other savior beside God. You know, so most people believe that, you know, that the Lord God, he is God. Well, the question though is that understanding may not be accurate the way many of us think about it. So let me address this subject of his oneness now. Let's look at many scriptures that show his oneness. I'm not sure how many I can cover, but I will give a lot, you know, so that people can have it for reference and have no question in our minds as to the oneness of the Godhead. Then I will also answer some difficult questions, the elephant in the room or whatever it is, and scriptures that people debate, we will answer them, you know, and we will call it out from the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 44, and, you know, let's take a look at, you know, some of the things, you know, that we've already read here today. I'm going to start here giving you oneness of God scriptures here. Isaiah 43. Let me start at that one. That's a good one. Isaiah 43 and verse 3. So take note of these next scriptures. I'll give more than a dozen. And there's many more, but just because I want to cover some other things. You know, in all these scriptures that I will give you, the Lord will address himself as the Holy One, capital O, then N-E. Isaiah 43 and verse 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That's who he is. You know, so God never addressed, you know, anybody that tried to address God as three, it's inaccurate. And I'm going to cover the scriptures, you know, where people are confused about that as well. It's inaccurate. We're talking about the present truth. I am the Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. There are many scriptures in Isaiah. I will give you many of those. But let me first read some Psalms. Also, addressing the Lord as one. Hallelujah. And then we'll read more scriptures in Isaiah. Psalm 71 and verse 22. Please take note of these scriptures because we need to understand who the Lord is. Hallelujah. You know, he says, I will also praise thee with a psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. Now, these people, they knew who God was. They never thought of God as three. So where in the world did that come from? Well, Psalm 78, let's take a look at verse 49. You know, here is the psalmist, and a lot of it, most of it, are in the book of Isaiah. But just to show you, it's not in just one place, you know, in the Bible. It's all over the place. You know, here is Psalm 48, I mean, sorry, 78. And let's take a look at, you know, some of, you know, the places where the Lord refers to himself here. You know, he says, what verse did I give you here? I lost my bearing. Well, okay, I'll leave that one alone. Let me go to Psalm 89. Let's look at Psalm 89. I want to look at one verse there, then I'm going to jump back to the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. In Psalm 89, verse 18, he says, for the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Again, notice the emphasis on one. And if you're looking at the Bible in the King James, I don't know what all these other versions say, but the King James, the way he writes it, they put the H in the Holy capital, they put the O in the one capital. So Holy One, it's like a category and a characterization, and, you know, of who he is, a Holy One of Israel. Yeah, I want that to sink in for a few minutes. Now we're going to go to many scriptures in the book of Isaiah where God is talking about the same thing over and over and over again. Psalm 78, verse 41. And that's the verse I was looking for earlier. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. So again, in these scriptures, referring to the Holy One of Israel. Now let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah has a lot to say about these things, you know, and all the various places, the book of Isaiah, where he talks about that. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 6. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Well, how about Isaiah, you know, chapter 10 and even verse 20. And stay tuned. Don't go away. There's many more to come on this subject. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 10 and 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as escaped out of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. Well, that's the truth. That's who he is. It's the Holy One of Israel. How about Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 7? You know, it says, at that day shall a man look to his maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. You know, how many places going to talk about this? Well, there's more coming. Isaiah chapter 29, verses 19 and 23. You know, begin to talk about, you know, so many places. I want to give you so many references that you will, I mean, it will just be ringing in our heads. This is the present truth. The meek, Isaiah 29 verse 19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And you jump down to verse 23 of the same Isaiah 29 says, but when he seeth his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. And in all these scriptures, that's how the Lord refers to himself like that. Isaiah chapter 30. Let's look at about three verses there. Verses 11, 12, and 15. Get ye out of the way, Isaiah 30 and 11, and turn aside of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. You know, that's again referring, talking about, you know, prophets that prophesy wrong things and so on, that tell the people to do the wrong thing. But in any case, he's calling him out as the Holy One of Israel. Behold, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay, you know, upon, you know, things that hold no water, the Lord brought judgment upon them. But he's talking about himself as the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 15 of the same chapter. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Isaiah 37. And verse 23, you know, praise the Lord of hosts for his goodness. Well, you know, what is the one word that will come to mind after this? It will be the oneness of God. Isaiah 37 and verse 23. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Talking to King of Assyria, Sennacherib, when he came to chide Hezekiah and blaspheme the name of the Lord. And the Lord says here, who is he that you're raising your voice against? You know, in verse 23, it says, even against the Holy One of Israel. Now, that's another place yet that the Lord refers to him as a Holy One. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. There's numerous places here. And then we're going to jump into the New Testament. But let me finish giving you all these references. Isaiah 43 and verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. There's no better scripture than this one. Put it all out there. God claims the kingship here, and he claims his oneness. I am your Holy One, not your Holy Three, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not three. You know, and this thing about God being Holy Trinity, I don't know where it came from. Well, I think I sort of know. You know, it come from the pit. God is not three. God is one. You know, one. But, you know, again, most people mean well. It's just that we don't have the correct understanding. So this lesson and yesterday's was to bring us into the present truth and to make sure we understand it. You know, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, he's also your King. That's right. You know, there's no one else like him. Isaiah 47 and verse 4. Isaiah 47 and verse 4. Again, these scriptures, just looking at how God referred to himself as the Holy One. I've already covered more than maybe 20 scriptures already. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. That's it. Never in any place did God refer to himself as the Holy Three. Now, listen to Isaiah 55 and verse 5. More scriptures along the same. This is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, sometimes we have some of the truth, but, you know, a little bit still mixed up. You know, and I'll come to one area about that in a little bit. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Another reference to God as the Holy One of Israel. What about Isaiah 60? Famous chapter that all of us like. Well, because we love to shine. It's the place where he says, arise and shine, right? The famous scripture, you know, and we love it, you know. So, but let's take a look carefully and see what the Lord is saying. You know, he says, surely the isles shall wait for me, verse 9, and even the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee. Wow. And I can go on and on and on and on about that, but I'm going to leave that there because I want to cover some more aspects. Now, we're talking about, you know, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We don't want some partial truth, but we want to get, you know, a complete knowledge of this, you know. Now, there was a man in the scripture, just a little digression. You know, there was a man in the scriptures, you know, who knew, you know, a lot about, knew a lot about the scriptures, John the Baptist's messages and so on, but he didn't know everything perfectly. His name was called Apollos. You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 18, verse 26, let's read just a quick digression, but it's along this same topic that, you know, sometimes we need a little more help, you know, for us to get things, you know, in better alignment. Now, there was this man, you know, called Apollos. A certain man, let's look at verse 24, Acts 18. There was a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus. So, you know, people can be mighty in the scriptures. I mean, people could have been around the Lord for a long time. Philip, he was around with Jesus for a long time, yet he asked Jesus a silly question, like, show us the Father, you know. Now, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, but he knew only the baptism of John. Well, you know, nothing wrong, you know, he did well in what he knew, but his knowledge was a little bit, you know, constrained into just an area. But in the area he knew, he was mighty, mighty in the scriptures. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And he, you know, teaching the baptism of John, talking about salvation and all the things that he knew. And he did the best he could. And he was mighty. And he mightily convinced the Jews. But he didn't know too much about more things about God. But when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they saw that this man had a zeal for God, mighty. Well, if we can give him a little more, you know, arsenal that he can work with, he will be even mightier. So they took him and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And this man humbled himself, was already eloquent, mighty man of God, preaching great things. But, you know, Aquila and Priscilla, who are even just regular saints, they saw this man and they called him and said, hey, look, come on home, let's fellowship. And when they were fellowshipping, they expanded to him more perfectly the way of the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, this man, when he went, you know, he exhorted the disciples everywhere he went. And he mightily convinced the Jews and spoke publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Well, before he was only preaching the baptism of John. Now, these people explained more perfectly to him that this Jesus that John pointed to, he was the very Christ. Now, this man is now going to even preach more mightily. So, nothing wrong with, you know, doing the best we can in what we know. But when more revelation comes, well, let's discern to see if it's from the Lord. And this man, he was helped and he became mighty. Well, let's debunk another myth, a great myth that has been, and it's still around this same thing, you know, but let's see what we're going to do about that. Praise God. We're going to debunking means we are going to expose the falseness. You know, according to the dictionary, debunk says expose the falseness or hollowness of a myth or an idea or a belief. You know, so let's debunk this great myth that has been rampant for centuries. And I'm going to quote the phrase, and, you know, to us that many people use, but will not find that phrase anywhere in the scriptures. And the phrase is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You will find not a single scripture that uses that phrase in the same sentence. It's never there. Yet, we use that scripture. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. You know, but let me tell you that the way that the scripture presents it is God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no denying. You cannot deny the Father or the Son. But we need to do it and understand it the way the scripture presents it. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23 says, look, for us to understand the Lord and God and Jesus and everything, you know, you got to get it in proper context. You cannot deny one or the other. You know, you can't. You must, in order for you to understand God, you got to do it the right way. Who is a liar, he said, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Well, there's not a single believer that would deny that. Everybody knows that Jesus is the Christ. The point is, you know, we don't really understand what the word Christ means. Now, he is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So we cannot deny that there is the Father or the Son. The Father and the Son were there from the beginning. Let us make man. And I'm going to address that also in a bit, in our image. Now, whosoever denieth the Son, now notice, if you deny the Son, the same hath not the Father. You can't have the Father if you deny the Son. You know, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And don't be swayed into other truths or mistruths. Now, if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, then you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, this is where the power lies. It's for us to understand this in the real power that we are looking for. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. It's for you to understand who Jesus is. That's eternal life right there. Now, let's go back to the question that Philip asked Jesus in John chapter 14. You know, he said, look, show us the Father and it will be sufficient unto us. I mean, this whole mystery about the Father, your heavenly Father, you know, Jesus was always trying to get them into a relationship. You know, before that, people didn't, Isaiah in one or two places called God our Father. But most of the time, people just saw God as God, you know, some unapproachable being somewhere. And Jesus tried to change that. Said, look, when you pray, call him your heavenly Father. Talk to him as though he's your Father. You don't need to scream and yell and shout and so on. Just talk to him as your Father, your heavenly Father. You know, he's your Father. You know, and he began to tell them, our Father who art in heaven, your Father who is in heaven knows you have all these needs. Your Father in heaven, he was always trying to teach them that. So Philip said, look, enough of this, our Father who is in heaven. I mean, just show us the Father who is in heaven and we'll be all set. I mean, every day you tell us about the Father, the Father, the Father. And because the Son can do nothing except, you know, everything that the Father shows him. So Jesus was always referring to the Father. So people around him were confused. They say, look, we've never seen the Father, but you talk to him all the time. You refer to him all the time. You're referring us also to him. And Jesus said, wow, Philip, my goodness, all this time that I have been with you. Now, that's the same story with all of us, many of us, really. I mean, look at it. Verse 8 and verse 9 of John chapter 14. Show us the Father, Philip said, and it will be sufficient to us. Well, have I been with you all this long time and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And why are you asking me, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? You don't believe that? Why are you looking for the Father? You know, so now, you know, that's the thing with many of us. We just like to do things and believe things our way. You know, since Jesus was always praying to the Father, since Jesus was always talking about the Father, you know, we want to know who is the Father and who is the Holy Ghost. Now, nothing wrong with all of that knowledge and quest, but it's very dangerous when we begin to characterize God the way that he did not characterize himself. You know, now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. Remember, this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing, you know, but the truth. You know, so, you know, this is where we are with the Lord today. The present truth. is where we are. And not necessarily what we have learned before, but if they are untruths, let's debunk them. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. I said 5 and 8, but I meant 8 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. For there be many that are called gods, small g's, whether in heaven or in earth. People made God out of the sun, out of the moon, out of this, out of that. You know, there be many that are called gods. For there are many gods. Capital G? No. Small g. That's right. Small g, anytime you are referring to plural, you know, never capital G. Lords, anytime you are referring to plural, small l. Many gods, small g. Many lords, small m. I mean l. But verse 6 says, but unto us, there is but one God, capital G. One God, the Father of whom are all things, and we are in him. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ. Now, nothing wrong in understanding that there is the Father and the Son. You can't deny either one. We already covered that. You know, but the scripture says, by him are all things, and we are in him. Colossians chapter 1, beautiful rendition of, you know, the knowledge of Christ. You know, if we can figure it out, it's really beautiful. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 19, talks about the Christ. Well, in the beginning, we know that it was God that created the world. We know that. I mean, Genesis tells us that in the beginning, God made heaven and earth, and God did this. God said, God said, God said, let there be. God said, God said, God said. Well, but let's see the present truth, how the Holy Spirit will now reveal it in the book of Colossians chapter 1, you know, and verse 12. He says, look, we give thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. There is the Father and there is the Son. You know, but let's see the relationship. In whom, now he's talking about the Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, and the Son is the one that shed his blood for us, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, who is the image? Now, just so when God said, let us make man in our image, you know, he was talking to the Christ, because the Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature, for by him is Christ. Now, remember, it was God that created everything, but for by this Christ were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, Christ. And by him all things consist, Christ. And he is the head of the body, the church, Christ. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, Christ. And you know, in all things, you have the preeminence, Christ. For he pleased the Father, God, that in Christ should all fullness dwell. Now, why is this so confusing? Well, because God is spirit. Jesus said it himself, John 4 and 24. God is a spirit, you know, but the body as thou prepared for me, Jesus said. And because God knew all things from the beginning, the Son of God was there with him from the beginning. You know, even, you know, people in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, they began to understand that, you know, by revelation, sometimes they say, wow, you know, who is this Son of God? You know, Nebuchadnezzar, I saw somebody in the fire. I said, my goodness, you know, this one looks like the Son of God. He didn't know anything about God or the Son of God, was by revelation. You know, even the writer of the book of Proverbs, you know, this great man who wrote so many things, you know, he said, look, you know, let me ask you a question, you know, about God. You see, he said, look, who is the Lord? You know, what is his name if you know it? What is even his son's name if you can declare it? You know, tell it to me. Hallelujah. You know, can you tell it? No. You know, but yes, the Lord reveals it. Jesus said, look, God has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. For so it seemed good in his sight to do so. You know, so what, who is the Son of God? You know, and what is his name, if you can declare it? Ah, my goodness. Who is his son? Well, everybody knows his name is Jesus. What is his name, if you can declare it? But what is in that name? Why is it that God has given him a name, you know, that is highly above all other names? You know, what is it? And why did God choose that Jesus would be in him the fullness of the Godhead, you know, bodily? Why did he do these things? Well, because it pleased the Father that in Christ should all fullness dwell. You know, that's it. It pleased the Father. And if it pleased the Father, then who are we to say otherwise? And the way, you know, that the Lord will reveal himself, he said, look, except you believe that I am he, you will actually die in your sins. You know, John, let's look at John chapter 8. And when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, look, if you don't believe that I am he, you are going to die in your sins. There's many things he said. Look, also I came forth and proceeded out of the Father. And they didn't understand that. Let's look at John chapter 8 and verse 24. And we also look at perhaps verse 42. Here's what Jesus said unto them. He said, look, I say therefore unto you that if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Who? You know, if you don't believe it, he said, you will die in your sins, but you must believe who he is. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said in verse 42 of John chapter 8, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. I came forth and came from God, and neither came I of my own self, but it came, you know. So, in the beginning was the Word. This is the mystery. Let's break it down. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him. You know, and then eventually the Word became flesh. Everybody knows that, you know. But what was God talking about, you know, when he said, let us make man our image? These are some of the questions that confuse people. Why did it seem like there was always three persons? Well, you know, there were never any three persons. There was God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is God. It's not a separate person. You will all remember that, you know, in Luke chapter 1, encounter between the angel and Mary, you know, he said, look, how can I be pregnant when I do, you know, I've never seen a man? Well, and the angel said to her in verse 35 of Luke chapter 1, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Therefore, now notice the word, therefore is a conjunction. You say something and you're about to say something else and you join them together. Use the word therefore. You know, so the Holy Ghost will come upon you you know, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. You know, well, he's got to be called somebody's son. If you are born and you are a male, you are a son. If you are born and you are a female, you are a daughter. Well, whose son is this going to be then? Because he will be a male child when he's born. So the angel is explaining to her that he will be the Son of God. Why? He should really be the Son of the Holy Ghost. Because Mary was found of child of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost that made her pregnant, using human language. Now, whomever makes the woman pregnant is the father of the child. Since Mary was pregnant of the Holy Ghost had to be the father of the child. Now, if the Holy Ghost is different from God, then Jesus would have two fathers. First, God, who is his father, we all know that. And now, Holy Ghost, who in the flesh was the one that made Mary to be pregnant. So that's his father again. So Jesus has the father over here, and he's got the Holy Ghost over here as his father. So now he has two fathers. No, Holy Ghost is the same as God. The only reason we talk about him being the Holy Spirit and being the Holy Ghost, whatever language you use, is when we see him moving in the realm of, you know, humanity, on the earthly realm, or when it comes into our lives. We call it the Holy Spirit. It's that portion of the Lord that we have. It's the same Spirit. You know, they say. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, though, he did not get the Holy Spirit. Now, we all get the Holy Spirit by measure. But quite unlike Christ, he did not get the Holy Spirit by measure. He had the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. Now, not Godheads, as in plural, you know, but Godhead, as in singular. Hallelujah. Now, John chapter 3 and verse 34 says, you know, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him. You know, and God loves his Son, giving him all things. Now, so, but we have the Spirit by measure. Jesus did not have the Spirit by measure. He had the fullness of the Holy Ghost. And that's why Jesus said, if I don't go, you cannot have. There's no Holy Ghost to share. When Jesus was around, you know, except I go away, you cannot have the Holy Spirit, because the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not by measure, was upon him. You know, because that was God incarnate in the flesh. Now, when he left, though, now he can shed the Holy Spirit on us. You say, well, why then all this confusion? Well, because God is Spirit. Just because Jesus came on earth doesn't mean that, you know, heaven was vacated and there is no more God. You know, just like you have the Holy Spirit, I have the Holy Spirit, millions of people have the Holy Spirit. Does that make Holy Spirit millions? Or does that deplete from the Holy Spirit? God, you can't think of God like that. Now, here's Jesus in John chapter 3 talking to Nicodemus. He says, look, no man has seen God at any time. But, you know, and he was talking to Nicodemus about, you know, you can't be born again until you enter. I mean, you can't, you know, enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. John chapter 3, you know, and verse 3 and so on. And he told him all these things, except you be born of water and all of that. You can't enter. And the man could not understand. And Jesus said, look, art thou a master in Israel? John chapter 3 and verse 10. And you don't know these things. You know, these are things that you should know. Now, if I have told you, verse 12, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, if I have told you earthly things, like being born of water, being born by, you know, this and that, those are earthly things. If I told you earthly things and you don't believe, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Well, so now he's going to drop one heavenly thing for him now. He said, look, no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus is standing right here, talking to Nicodemus. If you have the red letter Bible, you'll see that these things are written in red letter. This is Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. John 3 and 13. Jesus is standing right here, talking to Nicodemus, and saying the Son of Man is in heaven. How can that be? Well, because Jesus is in the dimension of the Holy Spirit in multiple places at the same time. In the Holy Spirit, not in that physical body. But he said, the Son of Man is in heaven and he's standing right here talking to you. Now, so chew on that for a minute. Because look, I told you small things, easy things, you can't understand them. Well, what about this? You know, can you understand this? How can it? The man, of course, the man didn't understand it, you know. And so on and on and on, these things are there. Now, let's talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, because that's a, you know, even those people that, a lot of people that understand some of the things we've said, are still confused when it comes to that part. Now, when you refer to God like that in the same sentence, then that is not accurate. It's not accurate because you'll never find it in the scriptures. What you will find, though, in the scriptures, you know, and I will tell you some of it, is in many places when Paul would write and some of these people would write, they would say, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's it. Nobody ever said, you know, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Never. Not a scripture like that in the Bible. Now, God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way that the, you know, scripture presents the relationship between God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Every epistle, you know, that they wrote, this is how they introduced Christ. Now, I don't have time to give, I'll just give you a few because there are several and I see that time is running out, you know, but every time, you know, that, they, you know, you can check out all the scriptures that have to talk about, you know, God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. So in the epistles, even though God is referred to as the Father and Jesus Christ referred to as our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same sentence, you will never find one sentence that refers to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But that's not the concept in the scriptures. God is the Holy Spirit. There's no other Holy Spirit besides God. And Jesus Christ is the Lord. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the very Spirit of God. Came in body, was made flesh, and he carried the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And he said, unless I go, you know, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Because he had the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So in all his epistles, Paul always writing to everybody, you know, talking unto them, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can check out all the other epistles as well. That's how every time they greeted the people in the name of the Lord, that's how they greeted them. They would always greet the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, and verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how always the relationship is given. Never any scripture that says God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we're debunking that one right now. It's always God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can read all of the epistles. You know, I'm looking at the time and I don't really have time to look at it all. But it's in all the place. Galatians chapter, just look at every place where Paul begins to salute them before he goes into his lesson. Every place. Grace be unto you. Galatians chapter 1 verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of those epistles. That's how he wrote to them. Every one of them. Now, let me leave that there because there's so much more to be said. Now, where then did God the Father God the Son and God the Holy Spirit come from? I don't know, but I do know. You know, now, the wrong doctrines that people put out through Catholicism and many things over the years, and in dividing God up, you know, Jesus talked about it as a doctrine of the Nicolaitans. You know, a little thing, a little here. It started as our deeds, and then later it became doctrine, bringing many things, you know, which were not from the beginning. You know, Jesus himself often referred to himself as the Son of Man because he humbled himself, and even though he was in the form of God, he didn't call himself that all the time. But one time, he told them, I am my Father, I won, in John chapter 10 and verse 30. And when he said that, they took up stones to kill him. Because you dare not make yourself, you being a man, how in the world are you going to make yourself the Son of God? Because if you say Son of God, people knew that if you say, you know, Son of God, then you are God. And he said, I am my Father, I won, then that makes him God. So they have to kill him because that's blasphemy, they thought. But look, we are, man is made as body, soul, and spirit. But he's still one man. He has this triune nature. An egg, for instance. You know, even an egg. You know, Jesus used to use just simple things to explain things. You know, an egg has a shell, the egg yolk, and the egg white. But it's still an egg. You can think of many other illustrations. You are a person, you have your spirit, your soul, your body, but it's still one. You know, God is the same, you know. He has operated as the Father, operated as the Son, operated as the Holy Ghost. He's still God. Isaiah 9:6 brings it beautifully together. You know, the Son that will be born is called the Prince, and it's also called the Everlasting Father. The same thing. You know, now, you may not understand it all, but at least begin to debunk the wrong things. When Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said to him in Revelation chapter 1. Now, this was the John that used to hang out with Jesus all the time. Bible even said, you know, sat close to him at dinner or whatever, you know. And but now Jesus appears to him. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His voice are like thunders and everything. And John, John is now falling at his feet as dead. And Jesus says to him, fear not. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am Alpha and Omega. Huh? You cannot be the Alpha and the Omega if you are the second in the Trinity. You will have to be the second. You can't be the first, and you can't be the last. Alpha Omega means the first and the last. It means the beginning. It means the ending. You cannot introduce yourself as Alpha and Omega when you're talking to John. You know, and he said, look, I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. I am the first and I am the last. Let's read it. John chapter 1 verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And this is Jesus now introducing himself in a different way now. He's not coming as a Son of Man now to die. He's revealing his fullness. And he said, look, in verse 11, you know, say, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and I am the last. And he told him what to do, gave him an errand to write these things. And just in case, to make sure that there's no confusion, listen to verses 17 and 18. You know, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Because, you know, now he has seven stars in his right hand. His mouth is going for the sharp-edged sword. His voice like many waters. There's thunders. His feet are like fire and so on. My goodness. You know, he's seeing something else. And so he said, fear not, I am the first and I am the last. I am he. Now, he's going to make no mistake who's talking to you now. I'm he that liveth and was dead. Now, that was Christ. You know, God cannot die. You know, this is the mystery that people don't understand. God cannot die, because the spirit cannot die. That's why he had to make Jesus come in the form of a man that can die. You know, it's impossible for God to die. You know, if God were dead, then who was God during the time that God, Jesus would have died? So he had to die as a man. He could not die as God. God cannot die. And that's why Jesus on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. And then when he gave up the ghost, you saw the reaction that the whole world, everything gave black, you know, even the graves were open and everything, you know. And Jesus said, look, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. So he's making it clear who he is. But for you to say, I am the first and I'm the last, I'm Alpha and Omega, you can't really be the first and the last if you are the second. Because everybody thinks, a lot of people think that Jesus is the second person in the so-called Trinity. You know, so let's debunk that right away. As we are in this room right now, if I ask everybody to leave the room, let's say we are done and we leave the room. If you are the first person to leave the room, and you are also the last person to leave the room, then I guarantee you, there was only one person in the room. There is no way that you can do it. Just think about it. If you go to church, all of you are in the building, and then, you know, somebody says, well, let's leave. And everybody leaves. You take note of the first person that left, and you take note of the last person that left. They can't be, you know, the same person if there's more than one person. The first person that left, and maybe there were 50 other people that left, and the 51st person was the last person left. How can it be the same as the first person that left? You know, so if Jesus said, I am the first and I am the last, then there is no one in between. You know, otherwise he would have said, I am the second. My Father is the first. The Holy Spirit is the third. Jesus never spoke about the Holy Spirit like that at all. He did say, the Holy Spirit will testify of me, because that's God. You know, God testified of Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That doesn't make the Holy Spirit any lesser than Jesus, because he testified of Jesus. Was God the Father any lesser than Jesus when he testified of him? When a voice came from the excellent glory and said, this is my beloved Son, hear him, in him I'm well pleased. God was testifying of Christ. Was he any lesser? No. You know, so we have to understand these things. Now, I don't have time to go into all these things, but I may continue at a later time. We need to completely debunk this confusion. Now, what about, you know, let us make man in our image? Because that's where everybody got confused. Well, I've already explained that multiple times. There was God, the eternal spirit, speaking with the Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Because he said, let us make man in our image. So you got to be talking to somebody that has his image. And because the Lamb was slain before the world began, we knew that Christ was with him before the world began. Jesus said the same thing. The glory I had with you before the world began, I'm giving to them. Now, let's not think that Jesus set up shop just when Mary was born. No, he did not. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 tells us, O thou Ephratah, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be least among the cities of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth one that is going to be governor among my people, whose goings forth are been from of old. Hallelujah. From everlasting. We know that's talking about Christ born in Bethlehem and so on. But his goings forth have been from of old. Now, there's really no confusion about it. Yes, there is indeed God the Father. And then there is our Lord Jesus Christ. And what about water baptism? Because people are confused about that as well. Because Jesus said, go ye, you know, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's the only place that anything like that, anything even resembling that is said. And because of that, people now take that verse, they turn it around and say, in the name of God the Father, and the name of God the Son, and the name of God the Holy Spirit. Now, the scripture never said that. He said, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What is that name? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only one name, not names. And in any case, it was baptism he was talking about. Wasn't even talking about prayer. That scripture doesn't say pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's no such thing. Jesus said, ask the Father in my name. That's how you pray. You don't pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. You pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's how you get things done, you know, and on and on and on. So the all throughout the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, when Peter was answering the question, what shall we do and how, what shall we be saved and so forth? After I preached that marvelous message, he said, well, you know, this is the Christ, the same Christ whom you crucified. God has made him Lord of all. You know, repent ye therefore and be baptized. He told them, you know, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what he said. He didn't say be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Well, one person actually told me one time, said, well, Jesus said this. Peter said that, you know, which one is more correct? I said, no. You know, the apostles wrote what Jesus said. Matthew wrote what Jesus said. Peter, you know, Luke wrote what Peter said. But it's the Holy Spirit that is the same. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 is the same as Acts chapter 2. Cannot be different. It's absolutely the same thing. If you think they are different, then we got it all wrong. Matthew 28, where Jesus said, go ye and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, is absolutely the same thing as Matthew 28 and 19. Is absolutely the same thing as Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Cannot be different. If it's different, then the scripture is broken. What Peter said on the day of Pentecost, you know, had to be the same exact thing that Jesus said when he was leaving. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if those two scriptures are the same, Matthew 28:19 and Luke 2:38, Acts 2:38, if those two scriptures are the same, it therefore means, and they have to be the same, otherwise the Holy Spirit is contradictory. Remember the Holy Spirit, scriptures given by the Holy Spirit. It therefore means that the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is the same as the name of Jesus Christ. And throughout this book of Acts, in many places, I don't have time now to go into it. When they baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout every single scripture where people were baptized, there's not a single scripture that reported that they were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. More so, even today, I've heard people, they want to do dedication, baby dedication. Even people who know how to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, when it comes to baby dedication, they will say in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes they will say in the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I'm like, where in the world did they get all these things from? Things are not even the scriptures. So debunking all this truth, giving you the truth, the whole truth, and don't add anything else to it. Nothing but the truth. Let's go back and search the scriptures. Well, that's the lesson for today. Next time, I'm continuing on debunking more of these mistruths. Hallelujah. You know, I may even cover such mistruths about tithes and offerings, which I don't have time to do today. I'll cover and debunk many of these mistruths so that we can understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Well, I'm going to leave that there now because I looked at the time. We're already past the bottom of the second hour, so that's a lot here, you know. So let's leave it there. There's enough said, enough scriptures posted today. I see several postings, and My shout out goes to those that posted scriptures for us today, Sister Grace. Thank you for doing that. I'm going to leave that there. There's many more things that we can cover, but let me round up, you know, by saying that the scripture has warned us to not add to his words or take away from his words. You know, let's not add to his words and let's not take away from his words. And finally, whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's water baptism or it's naming of a child, whatever ye do in word or deed, the scripture says in Colossians, you know, chapter 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, whether you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, whether you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, whether you dedicate in the name of the Lord Jesus, whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Is God and the Father different? Of course not. Those are the languages they used, you know, back in those days. Father, I pray over the room and I pray for understanding in our hearts. And be ye not offended at the word of God. Jesus asked them, are ye offended at these things? Because I tell you these things. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up to heaven? What are you going to do? He said, I've shown you one miracle and you marvel. What if the Father will show me even greater miracles than this? You know, so be ye not offended at the word of God. This is the word of life. It is the present truth that we must be established in and debunk all those other truths or mistruths or fallacies or myths. And let us hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And behold, saith the Lord, those that believe these things, they shall be translated and go up. Hallelujah. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go up. Those who believe are highly favored. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.